Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, Daniel 2, 36 to 49. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained at the king's court.
Thank you, Helen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we can come before your word, and as we heard, Lord God, through your word, you are the revealer of mysteries. And so this morning, Lord God, we ask that you would reveal yourself, that your word will be revealed to each and every one of us this morning through your Holy Spirit. And so this morning, as we set our eyes and our focus on you, Lord God, may you speak to us, each and every one of us, right where we are, right in the midst of our life right now. And so, Father, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. So we're going through our series, our new series at the moment called A Light in Babylon, where we're looking at the book of Daniel. We're looking through the book of Daniel and we're looking at Daniel and his three friends. And we're seeing how these four youths sort of navigated through being in a foreign land. But their faith was strong in God. And so how that looks like, how it sort of was displayed in these young youths. And so the series is really going to serve as a real encouragement to us in terms of how to conduct ourselves in Babylon or in our Logan City right here. And so the title of my message today is These Dreams. Everyone say, These Dreams. Yes. So, question, if you could have a superpower in your dreams, what would it be and why? What would it be and why? What would be that superpower? Why don't you take 10 seconds to tell the person next to you, what's your superpower and why? Okay, go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, four, three, two, one, and nice. Okay. So, I don't know what you guys came up with, but I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe there were some that maybe wanted the strength of Superman, right? Any Superman want to be Supermans around here in your dream? Yeah, oh yeah, over here. And so, or maybe you wanted to be like a Batman, you know, have all the resources at your fingertips, right? You know, you had all the, you know, because like you had Batman by night, but during the day he was Bruce Wayne, right? The richest man in Gotham City, right? And so maybe you were a Batman. Or maybe you wanted to be like a Flash. Any Flashes around? You know, this be fast as. Oh, there we have a Flash up in the back there, Mr. Isaiah. Seen him? He's pretty quick. Yes. But today we're going to be looking at King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream that he had, and what it meant and how it affected the people around him. And so, just to give us a bit of context, okay. King, remember that Daniel is set during a time when King Nebuchadnezzar, this Babylonian king, has come into Jerusalem and taken over Jerusalem. And so he takes the best people from Jerusalem, and including these four young youths, right? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he takes these youths back to his kingdom. And he puts them into this three-year program where it's to redefine, to reprogram or remold these young men into Babylonian advisors. And so these young men are built differently because they stand out. They stand out from the rest of the people within this program. It's said that they were 10 times better in learning and knowledge and in wisdom than anyone else on this program that these guys were on. They were 10 times better. And the reason why they were this way was because God had given them these talents, these gifts, right? And so they stood out from everyone else. And so they had this deep sense of security, this deep sense of trust in God. And basically how they saw was that wherever they went or whatever they were doing, God always provided. God was with them, even in this foreign land. Even though they were taken away from their families and everything that they were familiar with, they were in this place where they knew who their God was to them. And that's what they relied on. That was like a core part of their faith, a core part of who they were. This belief in who God was. And so last week we asked ourselves, do we do good work that represents God in a good way? Right? Do we live out the standards that God has set for us? But more specifically, are we a light in Babylon? Are we a light in Logan? Are we a light in our families? Are we a light in our workplaces? Are we a light wherever we go? Are we that light? You know, it was interesting last night at Ray's birthday, there was a few testimonies. And for me, listening to the testimonies, one of the key things that stuck out for me about Ray is that people said that she was like this ray of light in their life. Isn't that awesome to have people say that about you, that you're like this light of hope, this light of sunshine, this light of, you know, of energy and excitement, right? And like when I was listening to that, I thought, man, that is awesome. That is how we're to be. We're to be this light in our community, in our families, in our workplaces. Wherever God places us, we are to be that sort of light. And so today we're going to be carrying on in chapter 2, but, you know, as our reading today starts from verse 36, I'm going to give a little bit of a background from the beginning of chapter 2, leading up to that point, just so we don't get, oh, where are we going with this, Pastor Henry? Right, okay, so in chapter 2, the reading picks up from, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, okay? He has this dream, and it's one of those dreams that keeps him up at night. He's stressed about it. It's it's like disturbing to him, this dream that he's having. And he can't sleep. And it gets so bad that he summons all his magicians, all his sorcerers, all these guys that are basically the men that supposedly talk to their gods and are able to get into the spiritual realm. And so he wants these guys to find out, why is he having these dreams? Why am I having this dream? What is it telling me? And so when this group of people come before the king, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he explains the situation to them. You know, in the mind of these sorcerers, this group of people Nebuchadnezzar had brought around him, I think they were thinking, oh yeah, the king will tell us the dream, and then we interpret it. That's how it's going to work out. But listen to verse 5 and 6 of chapter 2. It says this: "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb." That sounds painful. "And your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream. Tell me what my dream was. And tell me what it means." Wow. Right? These guys are going, that's not how it's supposed to go, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so, remember last week I said that Nebuchadnezzar was a wise man, right? He was an intelligent person. So he's able to see through what these, you know, these people, these sorcerers, these people who speak to the spiritual realm. He sees through how they operate. And so he's asking them, okay, I know how you guys work. But if you really speak to the spiritual realm, tell me what my dream was. Tell me what it was. What it was I dreamed, and tell me what it means. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he says this, that, you know, if you don't tell me, I'm going to separate your limbs from your body. And I'm going to flatten your house. Right? He threatens them. Who would like that sort of job? Right? And so it's the Chaldeans, and these are like the wise men of Babylon. The Chaldeans, they answer the king's response in verse 10 of chapter 2. And they say this is their response: "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. Ah, king, what you're asking for, no human being can do, right? For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean." You know, that thing. No king in the past has asked this of their sorcerers, of their enchanters. But king, you're asking this. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And so what these guys are saying is truth, right? It's exactly true, right? Would you agree? No one knows a person's dream, because where is it happening? In their head, right? And so, who knows this? Only God. But there are four young men in their Babylonian kingdom that has been gifted from God with particular gifts and talents. And one of them, to young Daniel, has been given the gift of interpretation of dreams. But these guys that are in the presence of the king, they don't know that. They think, oh, just because of what we know here, is like, nah, it's impossible. It cannot happen, king. What you're asking for is, no one can do it. Now, these Chaldeans, they didn't think their response through very well, right? Because it made the king very angry. He was furious with this response from these guys. And so his response is, okay, well, all the wise men, you're going to be all killed. Just like that. And he can do that because he's the king. That's how King Nebuchadnezzar was. He was this type of guy that would, like, You want to be like that to me? Okay, I will show you a little bit of me, right? He did some pretty vicious stuff. We'll find out a little bit, like, you know, he likes to throw people into a burning furnace, right? He likes to separate people's body parts. He was a vicious king. And so, when you think about it, oh man, these guys, these Chaldeans, great job, guys. You just got us all killed, right? Because of their lack of action, according to the king, the consequences flowed through to every wise man in all of Babylon. And so Daniel and his friends, they weren't there. But this was a decree that the king was making to every wise man in all of Babylon. They were all going to be killed because these guys couldn't do what the king was asking them. Think of how sin entered the world. Sin entered the world through one man, right? And it affected all of humanity. But it was also through one man, through Jesus, that all of humanity was redeemed with right relationship. And right relationship was restored back with God through Jesus. And so when Daniel finds out about the decree that the king has made, he goes and requests some time with the king, you know, because he's going to be killed for the actions of these other guys. And so he goes, okay, I need to see the king. I need to see the king. And so he goes, he makes an appointment with the king. The king doesn't sort of see him straight away because he's a busy man. And so Daniel goes back. After he makes this request, he goes back to his house and he's with his friends. And, you know, he's with his three friends and, you know, they get around and they're having a conversation about Nebuchadnezzar and they're talking about, man, this king is a crusty. Why is he wanting to kill us? We haven't even done anything to him. Why is he treating us like this? You know, they were like backstabbing the king. No, they weren't. Here's their response. They were praying together. They prayed together. They didn't complain about the situation, how it was. Their response was praying. Guys, we need to pray about this. How many of us pray first before responding in a situation? You know, I know for myself, my emotions can get in the way of praying, right? You're smiling out there. I'm glad I've got people like me. You know? It's that emotional part. And yet we see in these guys, in Daniel and that, their response was like, okay, that's the situation. Let's go to God. Let's hit our knees. Let's go and ask God, right? They worshipped God. They asked God for the solution. In verse 19, it says, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a mission. In that setting of praying and worshiping God, God revealed the meaning of the dream to Daniel. So here, we see God giving the answer of the king's dream to Daniel. And I love Daniel's response. Daniel's response in verse 20 says this, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. Sounds like dreams. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked for of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel and his friend, they worship God. Their response was this heart of gratefulness, this heart of thankfulness that God had revealed, you know, this to them, this thing to them. What is our response when God answers our prayers? Is it like, thanks God, and then get on with life again? Is it like that? When God provides the answer for us, do we take time to pause? Right? That's when a pause button could come handy. To pause and give thanks to God and be grateful to God for what He has done. To honor Him. Daniel was very thankful. And this can be a model for us, right? In terms of honoring God and His faithfulness in our lives. You know, being aware, knowing that God is working in our lives, even for the most smallest of things, even being able to wake up in the morning and your eyes open, it should be like, thank you, God, that this morning I can open my eyes. Thank you, God, that I have a beating heart this morning. We could have not woken up this morning. But thank God that we're able to open our eyes. You can see your beautiful wife or husband next to you. They're beautiful, right? No matter what, right? Husbands, wives. Yeah. Some of them are smiling. Put a real smile on, man. Put a real smile on. Yeah, there you go, Steve. Yeah, hug and kiss, Steve. But you know, being thankful for even those smallest of things, that shows awareness of God in our lives. Because sometimes we can get so busy doing life that we forget God is with us. God is with us, working through us, and we just totally forget about Him. We think it's all about us. I'm doing this because I'm here. I'm living this out. I'm making these decisions. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with anyone here? So when God provides the answer for us, do we bless His name? Do we give Him honor? Do we praise Him? Are we grateful to Him and thankful to Him for His answer? Daniel goes before Nebuchadnezzar. He's ready to tell him about his dream. And so the dream that he has is this huge image, this massive, imposing, like, statue. And it's like, when he sees it, there's like this image that's made up of like different, made up of four different metals. So you have gold for the head, you have silver for the chest and arms, and then bronze in the middle and thighs, and then the legs are made of iron. And then the feet are this a mix of iron and clay. And this is what he's seeing. He's seeing this image, the sort of a rough representation of this image here. And then he sees this mess, this rock comes flying in and it smashes that image. It smashes the feet of it. It smashes all the metals, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron. It just smashes them to little bits. And those get blown away in the wind. But that rock that struck the image now becomes this great mountain and it fills the earth. And so when we get to verse 37, Daniel begins the interpretation of the king's dream and he says this, "You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given," everyone say given,
given,
"the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into the whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of God." Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar hearing these words? This dream that's been bothering him, and he's hearing Daniel sort of tell him about it. "You are the head of gold." And I think that would have like made Nebuchadnezzar, "I know I'm the head of gold," right? Because he's that type of guy. But do we see what Daniel is doing? The most important thing that Daniel is doing there is that he's pointing to God, right? Daniel points to God. He says, "Nebuchadnezzar, everything you have, it came from God. God gave it to you. It was given by God. Everything that he's required, all the things that the nations that he's conquered, it's all been given by
God, this God of heaven. And he is the head of gold because of God. God put everything in Nebuchadnezzar's hand. But Nebuchadnezzar thought, nah, he doesn't believe in that stuff. I did it, right? It's that sort of attitude that we can sometimes slip into. I think it's human nature to forget that God is working in us to do what he needs to do here. And so we forget. And so we can have this mentality, yeah, I did that. I conquered that. I thought of that idea. I did that. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of this image because of the God of heaven. Because of God. Then in verse 39, another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth, and there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks into pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. So there is going to be these other kingdoms that are going to come after Babylon, right? These other kingdoms. And so, most scholars agree that these metals each represent a kingdom. The kingdoms of the Medo-Persians, the kingdom of the Greeks, and the Roman Empire. And so if you look at the image up there, so you've got the head of gold, which is Babylon, and then you've got the silver, which is the Medo-Persians, and then the bronze, which is Greece, and then the Greeks, and then you have the iron. The iron is the Roman Empire. This is like the rise and fall of these kingdoms, these great kingdoms, right? And so Nebuchadnezzar is being shown this. And so it's believed that Nebuchadnezzar was seeing in his dream this time that is referred to as the times of the Gentiles. In Luke 21:24, it says this, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles began in 609 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar comes into Jerusalem and takes control of that city. He pretty much tramples over this city because he even took stuff from the temple and put it back in, took it back to his treasury of his gods and puts it in there. So it's how much disrespect he was showing to, trying to show towards Jerusalem and their God. So Babylon, they rule for a time. They rule for a period of time. And then the Medo-Persians come along. And then they conquer the Babylons. And so it's no longer the Babylons that are number one. The Medo-Persians become the superpower of the time. And then after a time, the Greeks rise above the Medo-Persians. And they become the new superpower of the time. And then time will pass. And then once time has passed, the Romans rise up. And they conquer Greece. They conquer the Greeks. They take over the Greeks. And, you know, it's interesting, in the time of Romans, that's when Jesus' ministry came forth, right? When Jesus began his ministry on earth, it was during the reign of the Roman Empire. The fulfillment of it will be when Jesus returns. When Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom here on earth. In Matthew 16:27, it says this, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Jesus is coming back. And this should remind us of two things, right? This should remind us about two things about God's kingdom. Firstly, number one is this, the unshakable nature of God's kingdom. The unshakable nature of God's kingdom. Okay, in verse 44, it says, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Everyone say, never be destroyed.
Never be destroyed.
Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. The unshakable nature of God's kingdom refers to the fact that it's not subject to the same weaknesses or limitations like earthly kingdoms are, right? When you think of earthly kingdoms, you think of think about the superpowers of today, right? If you think of like superpower countries of today, you have America, you have China. And so with these countries, they are their superpowers because there's several factors, population, money, and military strength. You know, who has the most guns? Who has the most weapons, right? That was sort of determines, you know, who a superpower is. But with these sort of strengths, if you want to look at them, there are weaknesses. And the weaknesses are things like they're vulnerable to corruption, they're vulnerable to instability, right? And collapse. These things that you know, and that's what happens usually when there's a change of one power to another, because usually someone wants to be better than someone else. And so that's that shift in power that happens. However, God's kingdom is founded on love. God's kingdom is founded on righteousness and justice and truth. And it's sustained by God's power and God's grace. That flying rock that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, that was the kingdom of God coming. That was a representation of the kingdom of God coming to destroy all these man-made kingdoms. And the rock that gets established on earth is God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom, it will outlast any human kingdom. Amen? In Psalm 135, verse 13, it says, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, your reputation, your renown, O Lord, is known in every generation." Hebrews 12:28, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that's not shaken by man-made errors or man-made agendas. And then let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." This should be our response to God. Gratefulness. Gratefulness is having this heart of thanks. A heart of worship, a heart of reverence, a heart of devotion towards God. Knowing the unwavering nature of God's kingdom should move us to respond to God in thankfulness. Because He is sovereign. Because He is ruler over everything. This is the unshakable nature of God's kingdom. The second thing that we should be reminded of is, number two, the unifying power of God's kingdom. The unifying power of God's kingdom. Verse 45, "Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God," everyone say, "a great God, has made known to the king what shall be after this. This dream is certain and its interpretation sure." And so God's kingdom will have His fingerprint on it. God's kingdom will have God's fingerprint on it. No man will be able to lay claim to it. It's God's kingdom, God's way. He will break the hold of any man-made kingdoms. Only God can break us from that. And that breaking free is not, you know, not the sense of like, you know, we're given a key and then we unlock the chains and we drop the chains and that. Now, the idea is this: breaking free is like you're in chains, right? And it's broken in such a way that you will not be able to be put back into those chains. That's the imagery of breaking free from God, from man-made kingdoms. Being set free from them. So they won't come back. Broken chains won't come back. When we think of the unifying power of God's kingdom, it should also bring to mind the fact that it has this ability to bring people together from every nation, every tribe, every language, under the banner of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look around, look around our room today. Aren't you glad that we don't all look like me? Right? I thank God you don't all look like me. That'll be weird looking at myself. But we're all wonderfully and fearfully made in the beautiful image of God. Each and every one of us. And part of God's kingdom is bringing that all together. His unique and wonderful kingdom. Young people, do you see in your class, do they all look like one person in your class, young people? No, they're different, right? You're happy they're different, right? Or it'll be hard to tell their names. Bro, which one are you, bro? But the uniqueness of God, the power of God to create this kingdom where we're all accepted. We look at in Logan. There's apparently like there's like 200 and over 210 nationalities within Logan. 210 nationalities right here in Logan. It's like we got the whole world at our backyard. This is the result of the unifying power of God's kingdom. Amen. God's kingdom. So ultimately, the power of God's kingdom should point people to the second coming of Christ, to the return of Christ, who will establish his eternal kingdom and bring about the ultimate reconciliation of all things. All believers, we are expected to live in a way that is different from the world, right? That is reflective of the kingdom of God, which is loving, kind, faithful, responsible, honoring, respectful, missional. These are just some of the qualities of God's kingdom. So we're about to finish now. Okay, you happy? We're about to land the plane here, as they say. Right? So freshen up your face. Here we go. Finally, the kingdom of God is unshakable and unifying in all its glory. No matter what we may face in this life, we can take comfort. We can trust and put our hope in the fact that when we're citizens of God's kingdom, there is nothing that man can do that will destroy God's kingdom. So as we live in light of this reality, that God's kingdom is built to last, I want to encourage us to ask ourselves, how am I representing God in my life? How am I being a light in where God is placing me? Do I look different? Do I respond different to the people around me? Or do I just jump on the bandwagon when they're like dogging someone or putting someone down? Do we just jump on the bandwagon and shoot those people down as well? How do we respond? What separates us from them? What makes us different from them? Besides a label, right? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Put a label on. Come Sunday after church, yeah, I take that off. Monday to Saturday, who are we representing? What character qualities are we showing? What light? What sort of light are we shining in people's lives during the week? We want to be a light in our Logan City. We want to be lights in our Logan City. Each and every one of us can be this bright, shining light in our Logan community. And you know the great thing about it is that each and every one of us was spread across Logan. Was spread across, you know, the suburbs around here. You know the cool thing about that? What would it look like if we're just shining our light in here? Just in this room. Just being nice, loving to each other in this room. But no one else out there sees it. That's just us being here in this room. But God has made us, equipped us, given us a purpose and destiny to be out there in the community, to be out there in our families that may not know Jesus yet, but to be that representation of His light. Does that make sense? We need to be that light in Babylon. We need to be that light in Logan. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love for each and every one of us, Lord God. Thank you for this time that we come to hear from you. Lord, as you've reminded us this morning, Father, of your kingdom, the beauty of your kingdom, Lord God, the unshakable nature, the unifying power of your kingdom, Lord God, that brings us together, that allows us to stand on your word, that tells us that Jesus is coming back, that you are sovereignly leading and guiding us, Lord God. We are thankful, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for how you are molding and forming each of us, Lord God, to be these lights in our community. Wherever you place us, Lord God, in our families, in our workplaces, in the classrooms, Lord God, help us to be aware of what sort of light we are to the people around us. May we be a light that guides people towards you, that points people towards you, that people would know and experience you, Lord God, and see through us qualities, that will see through us the character, your character, Lord God, through each and every one of us. And so, Father, we thank you for this time together as a family, and we ask, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.